Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. It's so good to see all of you this morning. Today we continue our study of the Beatitudes from the fifth chapter of Matthew. And the message today focuses on that fifth beatitude found in Matthew 5, chapter 7, which is our main text. And I'll invite you to follow along in your Bible or one in front of you from the pew rack as I read Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Remember, this is Jesus seeing all the crowds when he went up on the mountainside, the Sermon on the Mount, and he sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began teaching them, and he starts off with Beatitudes. And the fifth Beatitude is verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. During my research, I learned that the word mercy is mentioned 31 times in the New Testament, and it conveys the idea of possessing mercy, showing mercy, and even receiving mercy. And as it is used in the Bible, mercy carries with it the concept of having compassion or pity on someone else. According to the root meaning in the Greek language, mercy is goodwill towards the afflicted, joined with a desire to relieve them. Therefore, it is not only a thought or a means by which to feel deeply, but it's in addition a word of action. Mercy is taught in the Bible, requires not only the compassion for someone, but also taking a step to show that compassion to another. Mercy means to recognize a need and then to perform some overt act to meet the need. It's an outward manifestation of compassion. We can feel compassionate within ourselves. We can think in our mind that we feel sorry for this person. We have compassion for them. We take pity on them. But mercy, as God's word teaches it, is not only having that thought process, but also taking action to do something about it. Mercy assumes that the one who receives it has a need, and that resources are available to the one who shows mercy to meet that need. The emphasis is on the feeling of compassion showing itself in action and not just being a thought process, as I said. Now, we as Christians are surrounded by God's mercy. It cannot be earned any more than God's grace can be earned. The Lord gives us mercy freely. If he had not had mercy upon us, he would not have granted us grace. He would not have granted us Jesus to die in our place so we could be righteous enough to stand before God. So God has definitely surrounded us with mercy. And when a child of God looks back on his or her life, they can say, surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life since I have been a Christian. And when we look to the future, we can remember the words of Jude: look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which leads to eternal life. And when we look to the heavens each and every day each and every new day of this life, we can say, just as Jeremiah said, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are never ending. God, great is your faithfulness. Now, God has already shown us untold mercy through Jesus. But he wishes to bless us with more mercy, and such blessing occurs when we exercise mercy as self. We have compassion in action, and we become a flowing channel of mercy. When we do that, we receive mercy, additional mercy from God. Exercising mercy towards others can only come from someone who has received mercy him or herself. If we have not received mercy, whether it be from God or someone else, it's difficult for us to show mercy to someone. The concept is somewhat foreign to us. It's never impacted our life enough that we feel compelled to show mercy. But as children of God, we can say, I was in need, and the Lord in his great mercy met my need. I was lost, and he saved me. In fact, he died for me while I was yet a sinner. I did not deserve mercy, but God provided it anyway. God looked beyond our faults, looked beyond our sins, and saw our greatest need. We need to give praise to him, praise the Lord that he did that. Because without his mercy, we would have nothing enjoyable to look forward to. We would be on a fast train to hell without God's mercy. Because he saw that we could not abide by the Mosaic law, as I've mentioned before. He saw that we could never keep all the rules and regulations that the Jewish religion was imposing upon its people. So he gave us that mercy. And as a child of God, we are expected to demonstrate that same mercy towards others. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 6, I want to read verses 31 through 38. That's Luke chapter 6, verses 31 through 38. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. How foreign this is to our old sin nature. It rubs the wrong way in the secular world. Yet it is how every person who names the name of Jesus is supposed to live his or her life. Jesus said, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Well, how do we show this mercy to others? This is best illustrated by a very familiar story to all of you, and that is the story of the Good Samaritan. And that's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Here, Jesus was approached by an expert in the law. And this expert asked him, said, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what do you think you should do? What does the law say? What does the religious law say? And he said, to love God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. And Jesus said, you are correct. That is correct. But the law expert had another question. Well, who is my neighbor? And that's when Jesus told of the Good Samaritan. He told of a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into a band of robbers, and they beat him and robbed him. And as we know the story, a priest came by and moved to the other side of the road and went on. And then a Levite came by and moved to the other side of the road and went on. And then a Samaritan who was not supposed to be friendly with the Jews, was not supposed to fraternize with them. He stopped and tended to his wounds and took him to an inn and paid the innkeeper to give him lodging for several days and said, when I come back, if there's any additional, I will pay you whatever I need to pay. And Jesus asked the teacher of the law, he said, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. He desires, Jesus desires for us to be constantly performing acts of mercy. And this Good Samaritan parable is Jesus' own illustration of the fifth beatitude. We are to show mercy to those who are in need. We do not condemn them. We do not judge them. We do not laugh at them. And we do not ignore them. We need to be a channel of compassion, demonstrating great mercy, having pity on them, just as God had pity on us. Jesus said, what did he say? Go and do likewise. In Luke 6:38, Jesus made this statement, give and it will be given to you. By extending mercy, we put ourselves in a position to receive mercy from God, to receive an abundant supply of mercy, so that we can continue to be merciful for others. That is how the merciful are blessed. They receive mercy. They give mercy and are given mercy. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in on that cycle of receiving mercy from God because I have shown mercy to others. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And if you are a believer, if you've accepted Christ, and you've kind of fallen down on the job of showing mercy to others, and it's easy, don't get me wrong, this world can make us so cynical, so hard, because we see what goes on in the secular world. And it turns us off. And we want to come back to our comfort zone. We want to come back to church where we're with fellow believers. We want to socialize with fellow believers. We want to be with our family who are fellow believers. But friends, we need to show mercy to those who do not show mercy themselves. And if the Holy Spirit has been convicting you to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, what an opportunity you will have to show mercy and to repay or to pay forward some of that mercy that God has shown you and given you as He gave us the opportunity for salvation by accepting Jesus. And we would love for you to do that today. As we sing a hymn of invitation, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, number 320.